2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to read this, and then we're going to go. I want you to turn in your Bible to some places, and you'll kind of get an idea of where I'm going with this. For we know, verse 1, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands. Underline that. Very important. House not made with hands. Eternal. Where? In the heavens. All right? Keep that in mind. For in this we groan. Earnest. Who's groaning this morning? Amen? For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And I want you to notice that he's equating the clothing with the house. Our physical bodies are clothed. Our soul is clothed with our body. What we want are better clothing. Amen? It's like, why do you try on shoes? Why do you go to the shoe store and not just grab a box and leave? Because you'll get arrested for a robbery. You go and you try them on. Make sure that, and what do we look for in shoes? Other than the vanity part. They got to be comfortable. They got to fit our feet well. If we're going to be walking around on them, they have to fit. They have to feel good. We like comfort. God designed our bodies to require comfort. And so that's what we do. And so we want a body that is comfortable to us. Right now, I'm not comfortable. Amen? I mean, I'm sitting down, but I'm not comfortable. So I want a better body. I want something I want to be clothed upon. And so verse 3, That being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Naked is a type of shame. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. That's what gravity does to you. It burdens you. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And so what I'm concentrating on right now, and will be for maybe just a little while, is the house not made with hands. And I'll tell you why that I'm doing this. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. There's a principle. Runs all through the Bible. You'll see it if you know what to look for. For everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit. I mean, if you think about it, okay, heavenly Jerusalem is a woman. It's characterized as a mother. Galatians chapter 4. There is another mother. In Revelation 17, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. There's an opposite to that. There is God and his counterpart, Lucifer. There is Christ and his counterpart, which would be who? Antichrist, this man of sin. Christ is the son of righteousness. This man is the man of sin, the son of perdition. So there are opposites in the Bible. So take that idea. Now there's if you look in the Bible, if you study Proverbs, you'll see two women. You'll see the virtuous woman, the wise woman. You'll see the harlot woman. All right? And when he talks about here in 2 Corinthians 5 about a house not made with hands, that's what we want, a new body. There is going on in this world right now a push to do something with the human body. And it is being pushed. It's being progressed at what I think is an alarming rate. And I'll show you why I think all of these things here in a little bit. But I want you to compare now and get this idea that if we are desiring a new house, new clothing, a new body, that house not being made with the hands of man, but made by God in heaven and for us, and it will be everlasting. Mankind is in a place right now where he wants that transformation, but he doesn't want to do it God's way. The devil has an alternative for him. Isaiah 14. Let's see here. We can look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And then look here, seven words. I will be like the Most High. He will be, and notice that he doesn't say he wants to be like Buddha. He already is. Or Allah. Amen? He already is. Doesn't want to be like Buddha, Allah, Joe Smith. Doesn't want to be like any of those other characters. He wants to be like the Most High. So he will always be the opposite. Turn to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. We're understanding the character, the nature of our enemy. And this theme that I'm sharing with you is always in my mind. It is always in my mind, particularly in the day that we're living in right now. And I want you to think about, let's try to predict the future a little bit. What do you think this world is going to present to mankind, let's say in the next 5 or 10 years? What is medical science going to be able to do in 5 years? What is medical science going to be able to do in 10 years? What are electronics going to be able to do in 5 to 10 years? This year, 2016, they had the big Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada. They have that every year. All these companies that are spending billions of dollars on research and development, they'll bring these new products to show them, to get everybody pumped up about them. This year is the year of virtual reality. And I cannot explain to you in this room what that's going to bring to mankind. But it's not going to be good. Okay? I'm talking about sensations that mankind will have sitting in his living room. Okay? I'm talking about huge, huge transformation that this virtual reality stuff is going to bring to mankind. It's not science fiction. This is science fact. This is what's happening right now. The technology that we have is moving in closer and closer and closer to our bodies. And we're on the brink of making that transformation. This skin that we have, God gave us skin as a protection. Did he not? Okay? This skin protects all the dirt and germs and everything that's blown around us right now from getting into the vital parts of the body. What happens when that dirt or whatever finally gets in there? Creates an infection. And if that infection is not taken care of, you'll die. You'll lose body parts or whatever it is. We're on the verge now of being able to bypass or go beneath the wall of protection that God gave us and put electronics inside the bodies of human beings. And when I say electronics inside their body, I'm not talking about a pacemaker. I'm talking about circuitry in your brain that will allow you to think, that will allow you to access the entire world of information out there, as long as you have a good cell signal. Amen? I mean, come on, work on that one first. Anyway, but that's where it's going. Can you imagine someone having the circuitry in their brain that, number one, they would never forget anything? Never. Because it would be stored where they can access it, just like that. Can you imagine someone having a chip in their brain that has the ability to do mathematical functions that no human can do? Can you imagine someone having a chip in their brain that would allow them access to every piece of known information on the internet right now? Just like that. As long as they have a cell signal. Okay? That's a God. That's a God is what that is. We are racing toward that. Ezekiel 28, verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a what? Notice your King James guys put that in capital letters, didn't they? They knew exactly what they were doing. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. I set my heart as the heart of God. I want to be like the Most High. I want to be God. I say this applies not only to Lucifer, but it is the wicked nature of mankind to have a God-like body. The body that you and I are going to inherit, the Bible teaches us, will be immortal. It will not have the lust, the cravings. It will not have the burdens that this body has. It will not have any of that. It will be, and I'm going to use this phrase because it's mentioned in the Psalms and Jesus referenced it, it will be a God-like body. We will be like Him. Okay? Does everybody understand that? That's what it teaches us. That's God's way, and I want to do it God's way. I want God to build that house, not man. Man doesn't know what he's doing yet. Okay? Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to launch from there. I had Caleb out in the yard last night. Did you hear him? Yeah. Yeah, he told you about it. He probably didn't tell you everything. Anyway, I had him out in the backyard last night shooting a 20 gauge. Okay? And I stood right there with him. Okay? And he wants to look down the barrel with his left eye, and he's right-handed. No, do the right eye. Okay? And he couldn't pull the hammer back. It's a 20 gauge. You just pull a button, it breaks it down, shoots it's a single shot. That's all he gets for now. He does not get semi-auto. No way. But anyway, he's at that age. I want to teach him how to shoot. I want to teach him how to respect a gun. Teach him how to use it right. Okay? He's not ready. He's not ready for me to say, go over this way 100 yards and sit in a spot and look for a deer. He ain't ready for that yet. Mankind is not ready for what he's bringing upon himself. He's too infantile to be able to deal with it. Okay? That's where we are. So anyway, let's get there. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so we saw last week all the particular places in the Bible where it talked about a house not made with hands. Paul, in Acts chapter 17, said, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands.'" It's not just one time in the Bible he says that. He mentions that several places. Dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Isn't that true? He's made us all. Did you know I could go to Kenya and donate blood to Kenyans and they'll live? And Kenyans can donate blood to me? See, it's all one blood. It has to be the right blood type, unless you're, O positive? You can donate to everybody. But it's all one blood. Doesn't matter what tribe they come from, what nation they come from. Somebody say amen. Amen. This Bible was right long before mankind figured that out. Made of one blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. God is very, very smart. Now in Zechariah chapter 6, I want you to look at something. This is what's interesting to me. Several years ago, I caught on to this. Zechariah 6:12, he spake unto him, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch." Who is that? Who is that going to be? That's Christ. All capital letters in your King James. "And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." He shall do it. The branch is going to build the temple of the Lord. "Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." The Bible's telling you that Christ is the one who's going to build the temple, the house, for him to dwell in. Christ is going to do it. So if man builds a house, let's say a church house or a physical temple, and invites Christ when he comes to dwell in it, will he dwell in it? No. Hebrews tells us that Christ will pitch that tabernacle himself. He'll do it himself. He'll pitch it with his own hands. So God is clear on this thing. He does not dwell in temples made with hands. If he's going to dwell somewhere, he's going to dwell in the place that he built. Psalm 127. You're going to like this. We know this verse. We've read it before. "Except the Lord build the house, They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I was going over this verse and reading that, and God struck me. God has given me, I guess, a watchman type ministry. And lest I think that I should be exalted because of that, or that it's my responsibility to see everything going on, God is the one who's really watching. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It's not me. It's all about what God does. Amen? Amen. But except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. Here's what's interesting. If you remember, in the days of Solomon, Solomon had it in his heart to, God put it there to build the temple, and he did. He built this magnificent thing. It took him 7 years. God came in, glorified it, blessed it, did all those things, and then he said, you know, the earth is my footstool, what house will hold me? That temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and his army. And then those of Judah and Benjamin were taken into captivity. When they came back 70 years later, they came back to rubble. Even the foundation had been destroyed. And so they set about to build the foundation. They had to build the wall first, and they set about to build the foundation. When they built the foundation, they shouted, they praised the Lord that the foundation of the Lord's house had been built. And then, I think it's Haggai that you read, you'll find out that they built the foundation and patted themselves on the back and then went home and started working on their house. And then finally, God sent word through the prophet and said, okay, you now live in houses with ceilings, sealed houses. They all look nice. What about my house? What about where I'm dwelling? There's a good sermon. There's a good lesson there. Is that we will spend probably a lot more time taking care of our stuff, more so than we will the house of God. And I'm not talking about this here. I'm talking about the work of God and the kingdom of God and the blessing of God. Can I hear you say amen? So they set about then to rebuild that house, rebuild that temple. And in Haggai chapter 2, verse 9, there was a prophecy, and it said, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, what he's saying here is what they thought was that when they built this second temple, God would enter into it in greater glory than he did the temple of Solomon. Okay? Here's the problem. When they built the second house, they did not have an Ark of the Covenant. They did not have the pot of manna. They did not have the Ten Commandments that was in it. For some reason, after the days of Josiah, you don't see the Ark of the Covenant mentioned in the Bible. You know, it's not there. What happened to it? We don't know. Dan Brown thinks he knows. I don't know. But what happened to it? We don't know. Is it buried somewhere? Was it destroyed? Was it melted down to get the gold off of it? I have no idea. But I know this. I don't need it.
Amen.
And even if they found it and brought it out, I would go, yeah, the Bible's right, but that's not the Ark of the Covenant that I follow. That one is in heaven. Revelation makes that clear. It's a different covenant, and it's in heaven. But the problem is, there is no Ark. There cannot be a fulfillment of the requirements of the law in the second temple, because when they have a day of atonement, what are they going to do with the blood? The law prescribed specifically that it was to be sprinkled upon the Ark of the Covenant 7 times on the Day of Atonement. Amen. There can be no atonement now for Israel. And he said the glory of this latter house shall be then greater than that of the former. So if he wasn't talking about that second temple, what was he talking about? Okay? He's going to build a new temple. Think about you personally. You have the old tabernacle, which is this flesh body. You are promised to get a new one. So take this verse now and apply it to you. The glory, Sterling, of the second house that you're going to get, the latter house, is going to be far greater than the one you got now. Amen. I heard him say amen. Amen. So consider it prophetic yet still. This has not been fulfilled yet. Amen. And that's what Paul is talking about, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And the glory of that latter house is going to be greater Now, even on the earth, Christ is going to build a house unto himself. Christ is. The Jews aren't. The Gentiles aren't. The United Nations isn't. The Rothschild family's not. Nope, the Southern Baptists are not going to make it. Christ is going to make it himself. Okay? So you have to ask the question. I'm not going to even teach it today. You have to ask the question, what's he going to make it out of? Granite? Pure gold? What's he going to make it out of? Okay? Just an interesting idea. This is the tabernacle. This is not a photograph of the tabernacle. Okay? It's just a painting. This is what, according to the law, this is what the tabernacle would have looked like. It had the wall around it. It had the altar there. It had the curtain. Had the holy place, which is where the menorah and the table of showbread was. And it had, you see that pillar of cloud there. I'm going to be preaching about that this morning. You pray for me. It had that pillar of cloud there in the most holy place. Does anybody happen to know the dimensions of the most holy place? No, I know where you're going with that, because I got it up here in a minute. How big was the room that the Ark of the Covenant was in? The Bible tells you. Do the math on this, okay? It was 10 by 10 by 10. That's 1,000. Isn't it cool? Okay? 1,000-year reign. That's where the most holy... That was the size of the room that was in. Say it backwards. Say wow backwards. Wow. All right. Wow and mom. And dad. And pop. Okay? Anyway, I just thought that was cool. I thought, God, I think you did that for a reason. Okay? It's a prefiguring of the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years. And 10 is the number for dominion. There are 10 laws. The Bible says the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. So when Christ is going to rule for 1,000 years, that's dominion. The 10 horns on the beast show dominion. There are 10 kings and so on. Anyway, here is a rendering of the first temple that Solomon built. And I want to ask you, I want to go back to this tabernacle. Where is it? Where is it right now? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what happened to the curtains, the rods, all of the little curtain hangers. I mean, God was very specific about how to put this thing together. All the little rings that they were to hook the curtains into and the rods. And I mean, he put everything in detail there. This tabernacle does not exist anywhere on this planet. This one doesn't. Okay? The one that Solomon built, it was destroyed. And apparently, Nebuchadnezzar and his armies destroyed even the foundation of it. It does not exist anywhere. All right? So it was destroyed. How about what they call Herod's temple? Now, I had to do a little research on it, but in the days of Haggai, once they built the foundation and then they built the temple itself, there was a few skirmishes after that, and it was damaged. And so in the days of Herod, he wanted his name on that building. So he had it reconstructed, remodeled, and then he added a ton of buildings to it. And if you look in Matthew 24, that's what they're showing Jesus. They're showing him the buildings, plural, of the temple complex. And then what did Jesus say about this very house? What did he say concerning Herod's temple? Okay? Destroy this temple. And in 3 days, he didn't say in 3 days I want you to rebuild it. He said in 3 days what? I will build it. And what was he speaking of? He's speaking of the temple of his body, because the Bible specifically says that. Okay? Now, let me show you this. That place in 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What you see on this picture here is the Kaaba in Mecca, that black square that you see there. Okay? And Muslims, according to their religion, must. It is mandatory. You will burn in hell if you do not go there and circle it 7 times. And Mecca has a huge problem because the Muslims are breeding like rabbits. Okay? They're having multiple children, and all of these people are showing up, especially at certain times of the year. They're showing up here, and the places that these people are staying in, there's sickness and disease that goes through it. People get trampled. It's awful. They cannot contain the number of people that are coming in here nearly on a nonstop basis. There is a channel on, I'm trying to remember what internet, it's Ustream. If you go to Ustream.com, you can find a 24-hour-a-day camera that broadcasts this area of Mecca, and it shows them walking around it constantly. It doesn't matter what night or day, when you go there, you'll see people just circumambulating this box. This is one of the pillars of Islam. It has five. This is one of the pillars of Islam. If you destroy Mecca, they have no religion. I don't know why we didn't do it. Amen? Probably because we got one sitting in the White House. I had no doubt in my mind about it. I had no doubt in my mind about it. You destroy this earthly house, their religion crumbles because it's what's holding their religion up. Same thing in the Catholic Church. Okay? A Catholic priest will not perform certain rituals outside of the Catholic Church. Okay? Joe, somebody in your family, I remember, that had a funeral at the Catholic Church up in St. Louis, and I went to it. We started out at the funeral home, but then we had to leave there and go to the Catholic Church, and they had to put the casket at this certain point, this exact spot in the Catholic Church. It's called the transept. It is the point where the Catholic Church is always built like a cross, and it's this exact center point right here where they have to put that casket. That's where you have the casket. That's where the marriage is done. That's where the Eucharist is eaten. That's where all these little sacred rituals that they perform is at this exact spot in this Catholic Church. And if you do not have these things done at that spot in the Catholic Church, you do not go to heaven. Their religion is pillared upon a house made with hands. Okay? Then, all around the world, you're going to see temples to gods. Buddha. Buddha is usually in a temple somewhere. What fascinated me... I'm not done! What fascinated me was that when they had this earthquake... where was that? No. It's over in Asia somewhere. A bad, bad earthquake. All of these temples were destroyed, and all these gods were all busted up. They were rescuing these gods out of the rubble. And I'm going, what kind of God is that? Where you have to save your God instead of your God saving you. Because he has feet and he has hands, and apparently he can't use them to save himself. How can he save you? That's what God said. If they got feet and they don't walk, they have to be carried about, they have hands, they cannot save anybody, they have mouth, they cannot speak, eyes cannot see, ears cannot hear. They cannot do anything. And yet they put these magnificent golden idols in these beautifully adorned temples all over the world, and that's where they go and they worship their God. Their gods and their religions are always hinged on a house or a temple made with hands. It's not just modern. This goes all the way back. Ancient Greece, ancient Rome, Babylon, Sumeria, the earliest of civilizations, you had a house built by men with a god sitting in it. The Lincoln Memorial was designed after the Temple of Zeus. I don't know if you know that or not, but you have an idol sitting on a throne inside this temple, the Lincoln Memorial. Our nation's capital does not bear a lot of Christian symbols in it. It does, however, bear a lot of wicked symbols in it. Amen? These are houses built with hands, and these are religions that require that house made with hands. Mine doesn't. This is home. I wouldn't want to lose this. This is my life. If it burnt down this week, we'll move on. We still have our God and our Savior. Amen? Amen? We don't need this place. We can go out to City Park and have church. We can go to Walmart parking lot and have church.
Amen.
Okay? Well, they may... Yeah, because they probably won't let us on the City Park because somebody... Well, that's religion. That's just behavior. When I lose this tabernacle, when? I'm not worried about it. Because I have another one, not made with hands. Okay? Now, what I'm going to leave you with... Oh, yeah, I have a picture of that. Okay? Built by God's own hands. Amen? Because, yeah, and I do blame God every day for it, all right? He made it. He made it this way for a reason. He made it this way for a reason. So that I would know that I have something better to live for. That's where I'm going. Amen? So, I want you to consider now, and we're going to talk about this next week. This body right now was built by God Himself. Spoken into existence, built by the breath of God. What happens if man changes it, rebuilds it, makes it different? What happens if man rebuilds this temple? He will not dwell in it. Okay? That's what we're going to look at next week.